Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. As usual, Hillary Clinton, actually, in the good martini. She actually honored us, Jim, and the American people and the free press by sitting down for an actual bona fide interview with a member of the press. It was Brianna Keeler of CNN. Both Clinton and Keeler are getting mixed reviews this morning, depending on who you talk to. But the good martini today is Hillary Clinton's reaction and an apparent policy shift, at least in her mind at the moment, on the issue of sanctuary cities in reaction to the murder of Kate Steinle in San Francisco several days ago by someone who's been deported five times, committed seven felonies. And so Brianna Keeler asked Secretary Clinton about her stance on that issue.
When you last ran for president, you supported sanctuary cities in light of this terrible incident. Does that change anything about your view on this?
Here's a case where we've deported. He ends back up in our country. And I think the city made a mistake. The city made a mistake not to deport someone that the federal government strongly felt should be deported.
And so she changed her policy on that, not on pathway to citizenship. And she even criticized Jeb Bush on that issue. So hard to see consistency there, Jim. But at least the figure who the Democrats are clearly rallying around to be their next president of the United States is distancing herself big time from what had been a very popular Democratic policy.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a huge shift in her position. But I think when you look at her reaction, you look at the reactions of Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. The way San Francisco runs its sanctuary city policy has made it effectively not defensible. In other words, it cannot continue as it is. And it's going to be fairly easy. And if we're those of us who think sanctuary city policies are a really bad idea, we would basically say, well, why are we surprised that violent criminals, once a city announces we are not cooperating with federal authorities that want to deport you, we're not going to help them at all. Gee, why wouldn't violent criminals come to places like that? Some of us, this is not a stunning turn of events. And as I wrote in the corner today, there are a lot of really creepy examples and just disturbing cases of violent criminals who've been deported two, three, four, even five or six times. So they keep coming back and they keep committing crimes. I think you're going to see, this is now a good time for a real pushback against the sanctuary city policy. For example, California Attorney General Kamala Harris was insisting, you know, we really shouldn't change our laws as a result of one terrible tragedy. And you're not seeing Boxer and Feinstein, and in this case, Hillary, back that entirely. I think there's we have a chance to really change the sanctuary city policy here. And hopefully those of us on the right will, you know, make the most of that opportunity.
It's hard to read, obviously, the motives of Clinton, Boxer, and Feinstein, folks we don't agree with very much. Do you think that they're actually seeing a genuinely flawed policy here, or do you think they see an opportunity to blame somebody besides the federal government?
Well, I mean, Hillary kept saying, well, if only they talked to the Department of Homeland Security, and they kind of like shrugging her shoulders and shaking her head. It's like, ah, that darn bureaucracy. You know, we in government have the very best ideas, and we just want to help people. And if these people would just stop making mistakes in the implementation, seeing how horrible it is, I'm seeing it happen in a place that I'm sure almost every media elite has walked through San Francisco at some point by the pier. It's a very once, you know, picturesque city that's, I think, a lot of people feel is in decline. That basically they look at this and say, okay, whatever you think of federal immigration policy, even if you think it's terrible and unfair to deport illegal immigrants, et cetera, it's not meant for violent criminals. And at the very least, we can say to the San Franciscos of the world and the, you know, dozens of, maybe even hundreds of cities across the country that have chosen to pronounce themselves sanctuary cities, you can't do that for a violent criminal. You can't do it for a murderer. You can't do it for a rapist, a sexual assault. You can't do it for other types of assault and battery. Those people don't deserve to stay in our country. And they are not victims of an unjust immigration policy. These people should get out of our country. And allegedly what the Obama administration says it was doing all the time, and each time we check these things, there's still plenty of violent criminals coming across our border. And you kind of wonder what's the point of a deportation policy if they just walk across the border, you know, within a few, some short time later.
Yeah, it seems like every few months the Center for Immigration Studies is coming out with data on the number of criminals allowed to stay, including some violent criminals, despite the administration's stated policy. So More with the former Secretary of State in just a little bit, but right now her successor, John Kerry, is our focal point. He is still in Vienna. So is the Iranian foreign minister. The rest of the country's foreign ministers have effectively gone home. June 30th should have been the deadline for the formal deal to be put in place and agreed upon. Then we got it pushed back to yesterday, July 7th. And then when it was clear nothing was going to be agreed to yesterday, John Kerry says 48 hours. This time, for sure, we're going to get a deadline. We're going to get a deal. If it's going to happen, this is a real hard and fast deadline. Jim, that deadline is tomorrow. I'm sure you're holding your breath.
The administration's concept of deadline is very different from ours. And, you know, this weekend, as it was very clear that it was passing, you saw all the reporters covering it saying, boy, if Kerry had my editors, it would not be, my deadline is my deadline. You got to turn in the story on time. There are all kinds of promises made by the administration, by Obama and Kerry, that are now pretty clearly not true. Probably most spectacularly, a bad deal is worse than no deal. And Obama's pledge, we're willing to walk away from the table if Iran isn't willing to let us have full inspections and things like that. Well, now we know that's been tossed out there. Now Iran wants all kinds of sanctions and relief and all kinds of stuff for past terrorist acts, terrorism-related sanctions to be removed. Remember, this started out as nuclear negotiations, and now it's basically any gripe Iran has with us is now being brought in as a new issue. And that's exactly where the U.S. should be walking away from the table and saying, nope, you guys aren't serious. Our best offer's on the table. Like, you know, if anybody who's bought a house, bought a car, ever had to be in any type of serious negotiation knows the power lies with the person who's willing to walk away from the table. The person who needs the deal more has less leverage and is probably going to end up getting the bad end of the deal. Well, what's fascinating is all the pressure on the U.S. is entirely generated by ourselves, right? I mean, we don't, you know, ultimately, if you and I, like you and I don't like the status quo with Iran, but we're not craving another Nobel Prize and this glorious, you know, ceremony with the Iranian mullahs and shaking handshakes and peace in our time and all that stuff. You know, we have no illusions, whereas the administration desperately wants that. And clearly the Iranians know that. And we've been hearing the Europeans say that the American representatives are acting like Iran's lawyers. In other words, like we're negotiating against ourselves and against our own interests. And it's a depressing set of circumstances. And now we know this is just going – there's no point in which the Iranians can behave so badly that Obama and Kerry say, okay, this is ridiculous. They don't really want a deal. Forget it. They walk away. This is going to go on until there's a deal. And now we kind of know how it ends. And now the question is just how long does it take to get there and just how epic are the concessions that we make so that Obama and Kerry can get their pretty little ceremony.
There's some advocacy ad going around the cable news channels that you and I probably see more than people who have other jobs for a living that essentially features Marco Rubio saying at the pace we're on, eventually we're going to end up building the bomb for them. I don't know if we're actually going to get that far down the track, but the way the Iranians seem to be.
We will make the first strikes on Israel, okay? We'll just take care of that part, you know.
All right, back to Hillary and into the crazy martini now. In addition to her appearance on CNN, she was in Iowa yesterday at a number of appearances, and she made a quote that just makes conservatives want to scream. She says, quote, "When people diss the government, we're really dissing ourselves and dissing our democracy. This is my last rodeo, and I believe that we can leave not just the country in good shape for the future, but we can get a deep bench of young people to decide that they want to go into politics." She says it's perfectly fine to be skeptical of the government and that it's part of our DNA. Quote, "I want people's lives to be better when I finish as your president than when I started." So, Jim, we're just dissing ourselves every day, it seems like.
This has been a kind of a recurring theme amongst Democratic arguments. We've always seen that, you know, as you said, the hoary cliche of government is just the things we do together. Remember the video at the 2012 Democratic convention saying government is the one thing that we all belong to. All kinds of unfortunate implications to that being in a southern state spoken by an African-American. But what's more, I mean, you and I just, you know, in the last martini discussed how much the way the government has chosen to deal with Iran's nuclear program is completely different from the way we want to do it. When the government shuts down a lemonade stand, well, I didn't choose to do that, right? Sanctuary cities. I didn't choose to do that. The lack of borders. Government does all kinds of stuff that's the exact opposite of what I want. Now, people say, well, okay, Jim, it's because your guy didn't get elected. But even that, my guy is getting elected in, you know, the House and the Senate and, you know, guys that people who I like better are in there. And the government just decides to do what it wants through executive orders and regulations. The fact that she says something like this, first of all, I want her to salute her for adopting the early 90s rap star rhetoric, Greg. You know, don't be dissing me, man, okay? But in addition to that, this idea of alienation from the government, again, not just like opposition to the government, distrust of government, wariness of government, but no, I think there are a lot of people, and it certainly comes from folks on the right, but I even think, you know, folks on the left and center, you know, whenever, you know, Elizabeth Warren says the game is rigged, you know, I mean, was there a national referendum on TARP? Did we all decide together to give money to the banks to save them from their own mistakes? I don't remember that. And, you know, so in a way, like, I've been hitting, you know, Hillary Clinton as the kind of the ultimate elitist, the ultimate progressive aristocracy candidacy for our time. The clubbiness of the Clinton Foundation and the idea that she's tied in with Wall Street. If you're powerful in America, at some point Hillary Clinton has come asking for money and you're on, odds are pretty good, you're on, you know, buddy-buddy terms with her. That's what irks everyone else. This sense that the people who are in charge of us don't really care about us. And the idea that I think sanctuary cities are, you know, this really good example of this. One of the consequences of our immigration policy is violent criminals come here. And those of us who don't live in gated communities, those of us who don't who might have to rely on their own firearm for protection or who don't live in the safest neighborhoods do feel a certain sense of anxiety and say, wait a minute, you know, we're taking away jobs from American criminals. You know, the world is dangerous enough as is. Why are we saying all over the world, Central America, you know, you bring in your other criminals. If you can commit sexual assault, you commit all these terrible things, and we'll just send you back to your home country, and you can just walk back across our border whenever you feel like it. This is not a policy that feels like it is in the interest of us. And the fact that Hillary Clinton doesn't get any of this, so, you know, you look at her and you're like, okay, this is a woman who is beatable. There's a major issue in 2016. The question is, will we grab it? And the fact that nobody around her, you know, the really what makes this a crazy martini, Greg, is that apparently everyone around her seemed to think that was a good line.
I guess so. What would be the, I'm not exactly the arbiter of hip lingo, but would be haters gonna hate? Is that what she should have said instead to get with the kids these days?
Whatever is cool right now, Greg, will take several light years to reach us. So you and I will start using it like maybe, you know, 2017 or so. But I mean, like Hillary, she'll be using it probably sometime in the mid-2020s.
And she mentioned rodeo. Yesterday we had Krauthammer calling Trump a rodeo clown. Now Hillary says it's her last rodeo.
You know, maybe rodeo is what's cool right now. Greg, dude, that's so rodeo.
Oh, man. We just need to be able to use it in every part of speech. So, man, what a rodeo podcast this was today.
We rodeoed that one really bad.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity.
Rodeo.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. Tune in Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.